Father, you are worthy of it all. Lord, I ask right now that you empty me. I surrender, I submit, and I want to be obedient to what you have to say. I thank you for the day that you've blessed us with, able to meet here as a faith family, and go deeper in your word. And right now, we take authority over anything in here that is not of you, Father. You're not allowed here in Jesus' name. You have to go. And we speak against you right now. Off into the dry places you go. Yes. Heavenly Father, fall in this place. Give us spiritual ears to hear your voice, spiritual eyes to see. And we just render ourselves to you totally, fully submitted, Lord. We love you and we thank you. And we say all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Morning, church. Morning. That was awesome. That was a good morning. So I was going to try this time to not use notes. Man, this place is packed. So it is such a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be up here with you guys. It's been over a year since I was up here. And I just can't thank you guys, church body, for allowing me to come into this church and being an associate pastor here. I can't tell you how much I love you guys and the love you've shown me and my family. It's just amazing. And if I don't stop, they call me Puddles for a reason. Y'all know that. But it is an absolute privilege and honor to be here. So, and I'm glad you all are here today. So I apologize that you got the B team during the second service. And what I mean by that is the beardless team. So I could say the bald, you know, not the bald team, but it's the beardless team. A funny story, a couple weeks back, we had a baptism, and I called this young man. He was going to get baptized, and I introduced myself. And the first thing he says, oh, you're the one with the hair. I was like, yeah, I've got hair. It's a little bit gray, but yeah, I've got hair. So I always like to start revealing how the Lord spoke to me leading up to a message. Pastor Eric asked me about a month ago if I'd be available to talk and bring a word. I was like, absolutely. So I started praying, thinking about it, and then it was just download after download after download. And then about 2 weeks ago, a young lady in our church, a member, Anna Harris, fell ill. Everybody's heard probably about this by now. But within 48 hours of us being notified, I think that's Sunday, 2 weeks ago today, within 48 hours, 9:30 p.m. that night, several of us from the church had went to the hospital, and we came off the elevator, and the first thing that was said is, Colton's been told he's got 2 to 12 hours to make a decision on her life. And what I can tell you, the faith it took for that man to look back at that doctor and go, that's God's decision. Yeah. Absolute, total, resolute, founded, grounded faith. Yes. And that's what today's message is about, is a resurrection of faith. Because I was there that night, and the prayer warriors out here went scorched earth prayer. And they beat the devil back, and I was proud to and pleased to say this past week, that young lady was outside breathing fresh air. Amen. But the faith of this church body, her family, her friends, and everybody here, there's no doubt God heard those pleadings, heard those groanings, and he acted. But it takes faith, folks. It takes absolute faith to get to that point. And my note here, that's one of the reasons I was led back to this message. I have Anna and the old dog. Let me explain that real quick. So Anna, if you're listening, don't be mad. That's not referring to you. So last June was, like I said, the last time I was up here, I preached on faith, and Lord brought that back out, and I was like, Lord, I've already preached on that. And I felt, I don't know how to put it, confused, if you will, about preaching an old message. I was like, well, is that being led by the Holy Spirit? Pastor Eric did a That'll Preach seminar here couple Wednesdays back, and one of the things that came up was, you got an old message, bring it up, but just make sure you exercise due diligence. You go in, study that again, read that again, and make sure, because God's going to reveal something new to you.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, okay, Lord. But then I started getting other downloads, and then I realized, I was like, Lord, I fasted and I prayed, and I said, show me if I'm anywhere confusing this situation, and I'm getting in the way of what you once said, remove it, remove me. Prayed 2 days, fasted, and I woke up last Tuesday morning, and God's got a sense of humor, because this is what I heard. Old dog, new trick. So I was like, okay, you know, the old adage, old dogs can't learn new tricks, right? Well, when you look at that, that's a lie.
Yeah.
We should always be able to learn new things, and here, as long as we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, He's going to talk to us, and He's going to lead us. So I was like, all right, God, I got you. I'll get back on that word. So I started digging into that. And first verses that we're going to go through are Romans 8, 24 through 28. You got those pulled up in the back? All right, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we go back. I want you to remember his purpose, his will, like 26, and our weaknesses. And then 25, perseverance. All right? So what do we got here, folks? Hope rests on faith. That makes sense? Hope is something that we look forward to, but it's based off what we've experienced and where God's brought us from. Amen? So our hope rests on faith, and faith is rooted in the reality of the past and the realization of the present. Right? So our faith is in Christ and Christ alone. And off that faith, we have hope towards the future. Because that night at the hospital, I can tell you what, when we walked off the elevator, there was a spirit of heaviness. There's a spirit of doubt. But guess what? Hope showed up. Hope showed up. Pastor Eric and Christy went in and prayed over Anna. Ingrid was there. And Stephen Passmore, they went in and prayed over Anna. And there was joy in that place. There was laughter in the hallway. And there was joy. And it was almost as if we... we were mocking the devil. We came in and joy entered that place and hope. And it was all based on faith. Right? Without faith, there can be no hope. Without faith, there's no hope. Well, I mean, what are you hoping for? If you don't have anything to hope for towards the future, Christ coming back, if there's no faith, there's zero hope. So let me get this straight, and this is what I love about it. I like, Court always says it, isn't it fun to be weird? We're counterculture. So hope is something that is far off that we can't see, like we read in Romans just now, and it's based off Hebrews 11. Faith is something we can't see either. So to the culture, we hope for something that we can't see and that they can't see. And we have faith on something and we make that hope based off something that we can't see, a God we can't see. Isn't that awesome? So it's good to be weird, Court, right? So there's a rule of three. Has anybody ever heard the rule of three? And it says, in a survival situation or a life and death situation, you can go 3 minutes without air. You can go 3 hours without shelter. You can go 3 days without water, and you can go 3 weeks without food. But all that rests on one thing. You can't go 3 seconds without hope. And hope does what? We base our hope off of what? Our faith. So hope and faith tied together, right? You can't do anything without faith in Christ and the one who created us. As Brother Jeff said this morning, what an awesome message. If you weren't here for that, I hope they recorded it because it's got to be listened to. It was just amazing, Brother Jeff. Thank you. So now we're going to go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So here we go again. Faith. Our salvation based off faith, and it's a gift. So here's the question I have for you today. What is Jesus' return on investment? What's his return on investment? What is a return on investment? Well, a return on investment is a way to calculate and see how much was spent and what came out of that expenditure. Christ spilled his blood and took a beating for all of us. And what's the return on investment for him? Right? The best way to explain that is the parable of the talents. God has pulled this up and showed me this several times. And what I love about parables, of course, it's an earthly story with a spiritual principle. Depending on how many people, show of hands, read the parable of talents. A litany, right? Depending on what season you're in, challenges you're facing, family issues, work issues, what, if you were to go back to that, it could change. That's how God speaks to us. Where we're at, he's going to talk to us differently and he's going to reveal new things. So, let's read through it. So we're going to start on verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Y'all got to, really? Everybody look back. Man, that's small. And these are readers for near. Hold on. Let me read this. So you had received 5 talents. Back to that gray hair. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought, I want you to underline that, 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. This was the second, go back. Did I miss that? Okay. Here we go. He who also had received 2 came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you, okay. That's got to be rants back there. I will make you ruler over many things. I'm from Louisiana. I don't read that fast, Cassie. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming back, I would have received my own interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." All right. So, let's go back to 14. The way I read this and what the Lord put on my heart is, we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, Jesus, traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Church, that's us. Yeah. What are the goods? What did he deliver us? What did he give us? He gave us the Luke 4 mandate. He gave us his ministry. He passed on his ministry to us to continue on, right? Until he comes back, and he's going to settle accounts, which we've just read. So this is that, we've heard Pastor Eric say it several times, and it's even in here. Called and sent. We've heard that, right? Called and sent. So he provided these talents, or he called them. He delivered his goods to ministry. And then he gave them, if you read the surface, the earthly story, the financial means to continue the kingdom. Right? Yeah. To take care of everything that God, or that this man, Jesus, gave these servants to take care while he was gone. What's interesting about the word talent, and what we know from Romans 12:3, to each is given what? A measure of faith. Here's the tie-in. Faith is spiritual currency, folks. Faith is spiritual currency. Amen. That's how we carry on the kingdom. It's through our faith and obedience. So the talents, if you look at what a talent is, a weight measurement. It is a measurement of weight of money. Okay? The root of that word talent, which is talanto, is talo, T-L-A-O. I'm going to mess this up. You know what that word means? To carry a burden. We see the tie-in here? So we have this ministry that God has entrusted us with. He's given us the talents, the financial means to take care of that. But when you look at those words, ministry at times, folks, and you know this if you've been in church for a good while, it grieves your heart. And it burdens you to know how many people are hurting out there. It burdens you to see how many people are lost. Thank you. My lips are about to curl up. Now you might be able to understand me. So we've been given this ministry. And at times, not at times, it is. Again, seeing how many people are out there that are hurting, that are lost, that aren't connected. And we say this in step one all the time. If you don't get connected to a church family, you're prey. Because the devil's out there seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, and he is roaming, looking for his next item of prey. Okay? So, to each he gave their ability. What does ability mean? In Greek, it's dunamis. And that means strength. When you look at that word, it means strength. So what's interesting about that is our faith is like a spiritual muscle. And if you don't work it out, it's going to atrophy. Yes. So we've been granted power and authority by Jesus to trample snakes and serpents, to go out and heal the sick, to preach the gospel, to cast out demons. We've been given all this power and authority. What's funny about power, though, is power is reliant on strength. Because if you ain't strong, you ain't got any power physically. So how do you build that? You have to work that out. So how do we work that out? We get tested. There are tests. And when we get tested, are we going to be faithful and know that God's got us from beginning to end of this, or do we doubt? Because you think about all through the New Testament, how many times we read in the New Testament, especially Matthew, "Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith." Jesus himself, red letters every time. And what was it always around? Fear, doubt, worry, hopelessness. All these things, all are tools of the devil to get us away from believing that God is who he said he is and what he said he's going to do. Because Hebrews 11:6 tells us. It tells us. It is impossible to please God without faith. Right? So as we go through this, so there's the setup. So we have been given a ministry to care for and steward well. We've been given the necessary tools for that. And I believe the talents that we're talking about here, it's faith. Because ministry at times, there's a burden and it's a weight. I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean it as in it's a grieving place to be when you see, again, the number of people hurting and lost and in need. Tip of the day. Last time I had a tip of the day, I got in trouble because I made a joke about mother-in-laws. Forgive me for that, mother-in-laws. My mother-in-law's awesome, so we can't do anything without him. We can't do anything without Jesus in our life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, in verses 16 and 17, we see the one who was given five talents, the one that was given two talents. They were called, and they went. That's the word used. They went and traded. They worked the ministry with faith. Diligently went out and returned double. And I coined this. I might make a shirt. I'm known for making shirts around here. So the first two were called and went. The one who received one, he was called and wimped. And when you look that word up in the dictionary, that word means fail to do or complete something due to fear or lack of confidence. So the one who received one talent wimped out. That's the only way you can put it. That guy decided to bury his faith. And if you look at the words in verse 18, "But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money." Here's the shift. You ready for this? 16 and 17, the money, they're called talents. So you really don't have a clear view of if it's money or not. But it makes it very clear in 18 what it is. It's money. So what does that mean? He stepped over into the world. The third one stepped over in the world. Having faith was too much for him. Seeing a sick kid, having a parent pass away, having a spouse pass away, having a loved one, those are testing of faith. It's hard tests. This guy, 18, wasn't willing to do it. You go to 20. So he who had received five, here's the part I was going to tell you, came and brought the five and said, so watch this transition here. The one who had two, he came and just said. So have you ever wondered why one got five, one got two, and one got one? I think there's a spiritual maturity piece to this. The one who got five, he came and brought to show his Lord and told him, "Hey, here's what I've got." The other one, he had two. He just came and said, "Hey, I got two more." So it doesn't say he came and brought it and said, right? There's a spiritual maturity piece. So I would submit to you that the one who received five talents, he had proven himself before. He had proven himself faithful. He had proven himself worthy. Fully submitted, fully committed, obedient to the word. And I will tell you right now, I put myself in the two talent pot. Because I'm learning as I go. I've yielded to the Holy Spirit. He pulled me out of a career and called me into ministry. And I'm learning. Brother Jeff, he's got 11 talents. Brother Rod, who's coming to the third service, 11 talents. I'm making my way through this. And I can tell you, yesterday was a hard spiritual day. I had this message on Tuesday, and I was just going to put it on paper Friday, and I didn't get around to it. My girls were playing soccer and Tyler yesterday, and I got up early yesterday morning and was going to put it on paper. Folks, that was the worst. I'm not, as you can tell, and you can ask my wife, I don't lack words. I'm a talker. I could not think straight yesterday. It was an absolute struggle to try to get this message on paper. And there was a spirit of confusion and a spirit of doubt, a spirit of fear, all that stuff. And here I was supposed to be preaching on faith. Who am I to stand up here and preach faith if I ain't got it? But God showed up. And He always does. He always shows up. I feel so stupid, even doubting it. You know, we read back in the Old Testament, like, geez, the Israelites, my gosh, and you're going to learn. But do we do the same thing? We do the same thing all the time. We always have to just get recentered in Christ and have the faith to carry on. So, all the ways that the enemy attacks us, that fear, that worry, that doubt, ye of little faith. So as we turn and we see the response of the wimp. Sorry. Then who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And you look at that word new in Greek, it can mean felt. So this is where I got to say this part. Truth don't care about your feelings. This truth does not care about your feelings. It's about God and what He says and what He has called us to do, and we have to step into that. So truth doesn't care about your feelings. Kind of goes right along with Brother Jeff's, no, there's two genders. You are who you are. God made you that way for a reason. Step into it and own it. So truth doesn't care about your feelings. So I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Is that not the worldview of Christian or of Jesus? Man, y'all got a harsh God. All these rules and things. Man, they don't know our Jesus. They don't know our God. Good to be weird, ain't it? That is so amazing to me, the worldview. And then what does he say? And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. So we saw earlier that transition to money. It was talents, 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 and then hid the money. So he stepped firmly into the world. Not only did he step firmly into the world, he put his hand in the ground and buried it. Just like rolling that stone back over the grave. The return on investment was a total failure on this guy. He didn't hear, he didn't move, he didn't act. Literally buried his faith in the ground. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming back, I would have received my own. He's just calling him out. He's like, you're just making excuses. Because if you thought I was a hard man, you would have done something with it. But you didn't even have the intestinal fortitude to even step out in faith and do anything with it to further the kingdom, to take care of. And here's the other side of this. I guarantee you this guy was still eating. He was getting fed somewhere, but he was getting fed by the world and not by God. Right? That's the bread that we feast on. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of God's mouth. So, Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken. You know what this is telling us, folks? Remember that power and authority? We've been granted all power, given all power and authority to each his ability, his strength to manage and fight through and carry on through these tough times that we face. If we have faith to get through it, we're being told here, with great power comes what? Great responsibility. More will be given and added to you. Seek kingdom first, and what happens? Everything else is added, folks. Now here's the hard part. Oh, I'm a minute late. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I went over to Brother Yancey's and we had a good long 4-hour talk one morning. If you were here Wednesday, that's what he was kind of referencing. I was grieved over that, and I was like, once saved, always saved, right? I'm not going to sit here and make this a salvation piece. I'm going to go off of what the text says, and the text says that since this lazy, wicked servant decided to step over into the world and put his faith into the world and not into our risen King, that this was that master saying, you want the world? You can have it. That was a choice being made. Now, I don't know about you, but it took me, I'm 49, I said I'm from Louisiana, I can't barely read, can't hardly talk, I really can't do math, so 49 years old, I claim to have been saved in 2005, and we always hear this, we chuckle, save. I go to taxidermy church, and I hear that all the time. the older, wiser crowd, you know, I was save. I gave my life when I was 13, but when I was 40, I came to Christ, and then I was save. Is it worth not knowing if you're saved? Is it really worth knowing? Are you going to wait and see? Or when we have the altar call here in a minute, which is our worship team, I don't know if they can hear me, if they can come up. We're going to have our prayer teams on the sides. And the altar's open for doing business with our awesome God. And I'm going to challenge you. Where are you putting your faith? Where are you putting your faith? And do you have the faith that it takes to sustain and increase the kingdom? That's a scary thing sometimes to some folks. Is stepping out in faith and seeking and asking and knocking. Well, you're going to have that opportunity right now. So this message wasn't a salvation message. This message was about a measurement of faith. A measurement of faith. Like I said, I go back to the hospital that night. Ingrid was there. A miracle happened that night. And I'll be honest, it's the first miracle I ever saw. Here's this lady with her cut wide open, her husband being told, calling the kids in. Just lifeless. To the point you heard Pastor Eric, when him and Christy were praying, he went in, he looked at Colton, and he looked at her, looked at Colton, he was like, Colton, what am I looking at? And she passed away. Death's door. But faith and hope showed up. And that faith and hope in this body here, this faith family, showed up. And those messages that were sent out, you guys prayed, and y'all battled in the spirit, and y'all fought valiantly. And And like I said last week, that young woman was out there getting sun for the first time in 2 weeks. So again, as we close service, here's the invite. Here's a challenge. We'll dim the lights. We'll have our prayer teams up. Do you have the faith? If you don't know your salvation, if you don't know it's secured yet, do you have the faith and the do you have the faith to be called and sent? Because I wouldn't want to be called and wimp. Father God, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for the miracle that we saw in Anna. We thank you for Miss Wanell, the recovery that she's experiencing, Lord, this speedy recovery. 2 weeks in the hospital, and it was 2 days, 3 days. And that's only through you, Lord. It's only through the faith that we have invested. That spiritual currency, Lord, only comes through knowing you, Jesus Christ, who paid the price so that we could be called sons and daughters. Father, we love you and we thank you. And I pray blessings over everybody here today, Lord. For those that are out there right now debating, trying to decide if they're saved, not saved, come get saved. Have the faith to step out and invest in that spiritual currency. We say these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.